is staring at the screen. The blue bubble is there. The timestamp says it was read 4 hours ago. He starts with a check-in, a low-pressure question. How was your day? Nothing. 2 hours later, the anxiety shifts. It moves from the chest to the throat. He begins to draft a second message. This one is thoughtful. It's an observation about something she likes, a way to prove he is paying attention, a way to remind her that he is a high-value, considerate partner. He hits send. Then he waits. Now he is monitoring the dots. The typing indicator appears and disappears. He is holding his breath. He is not thinking about her. He is thinking about the gap between the last message and the next one. He is not in a conversation. He is in a panic. This is the silence test. Most men view silence as a void, a hole that needs to be plugged. They see it as a problem to be solved through more communication. They believe that if they can just find the right words, the right tone, or the right vulnerable admission, they can bridge the gap. They are wrong. In these moments, the silence is not a lack of communication. It is the communication. Why her silence is information is not about the words she isn't saying. It is about what the silence triggers in the man. The red pill tells the man to hold his frame, to strategically ignore her to regain power. Therapy culture tells him to communicate his needs and be open about his anxiety. Both are performances. One is a mask of indifference, the other is a performance of vulnerability. Neither addresses the actual mechanism, the man's inability to regulate his own nervous system when the external validation stops. The silence is a mirror. If the man is anxious, the silence reflects anxiety. If he is desperate for a resolution, the silence reflects desperation. She does not feel the care he puts into his follow-up texts. She feels the instability of the man sending them. The loop begins with a shift in the environment. The flow of validation stops. For a man who has outsourced his emotional regulation to the woman, this is a systemic failure. The nervous system perceives the silence as a threat, not a physical threat, but a social one. The brain registers a loss of connection, which triggers a fight-or-flight response. In this state, the fight manifests as the compulsion to fix the narrative. He doesn't just want a reply, he wants the anxiety to stop. This leads to the pattern of the overinvestor. He gives more when she pulls back. He sends a longer text. He offers a compliment. He suggests a plan. He believes he is being persistent or romantic. Physiologically, he is attempting to discharge his own tension. Every message sent is a desperate attempt to force a response that will regulate his nervous system. He is not pursuing her, he is pursuing the relief of her reply. The tragedy of this mechanism is that it produces the exact result the man is trying to avoid. The woman does not read the words of the message. She reads the energy behind them. She feels the pressure. She feels the neediness. She feels a man who is unable to stand in a vacuum. To her, this registers as a lack of stability. The more he tries to fix the silence with words, the more he proves that he cannot handle the silence. Once the first wave of anxiety fails to get a response, the man moves into the second stage, the compulsion to explain. This is where he tries to correct the record. He sends a message saying, "I feel like things have been weird lately, and I just want to make sure we're okay." Or, "I'm sorry if I did something to upset you, can we talk about it?" This is not communication. It is anxiety dressed as logic. He's attempting to negotiate his way back into a state of safety. He believes that if he can analyze the problem out loud, he can control the outcome. What he doesn't realize is that he is broadcasting his state in real time. He is showing her that his internal peace is contingent on her mood. He has entered a state of self-erasure. He is adapting his personality, his tone, and his needs to fit the perceived requirements of the moment. He makes himself smaller to make her comfortable. He mistakes this for generosity or being a nice guy. But the nervous system does not respond to nice. It responds to presence. When a man is obsessing over how he is coming across, he is no longer present. He is monitoring himself. He is a spectator to his own interaction. The woman feels this absence. She doesn't feel a man who is trying hard. She feels a man who has disappeared into his own head. Contrast this with the man whose state is not organized around the response. When this man encounters silence, he notices it. He registers the gap. But he does not attempt to fill it. He is not playing a game. He is not counting minutes or pretending not to care to win a power struggle. He is simply regulated. His sense of stability does not vanish when the external validation is removed. Because he is not in a state of panic, he does not feel the need to fix the narrative. He does not send the check-in text. He does not offer a preemptive apology for a crime he hasn't committed. He remains in his own center. The woman reads this differently. She doesn't feel a challenge or a game. She feels a man who is capable of holding the tension. She feels a nervous system that is not demanding that she fix it. This is the quality of a man who is not waiting for permission to feel okay. He has not outsourced his regulation. When he finally does speak, it is not to alleviate his own anxiety. It is because he actually has something to say. The silence is no longer a threat. It is simply a space. Because he can exist in that space without breaking, the space itself becomes an invitation. He is not chasing the relief of her presence. He is simply present. Most advice given to men in this position is a superficial fix. The wait 3 days rule is a performance of indifference. It is a technique used to mimic the state of a regulated man. But the man is still counting the hours. He is still checking his phone every 10 minutes. He is still anxious. He is just suppressing the behavior. The anxiety is still there, vibrating under the surface. When he finally does text, the desperation is still present in the subtext. Then there is the be vulnerable advice. Tell her you're feeling anxious, they say. Be honest about your needs. When a man does this from a state of dysregulation, it isn't vulnerability. It is a request for the woman to regulate him. He is essentially saying, I cannot handle this silence. Please tell me I'm okay so I can stop feeling this way. This is an emotional burden. It is a request for her to take responsibility for his internal state. No one respects a man. They are also responsible for maintaining. This is why communicating more often accelerates the decline of the relationship. It is more of the wrong thing. Their failure is in treating the behavior as the unit of change. The correct text or the correct amount of waiting is irrelevant if the underlying state is one of panic. If the nervous system is screaming, the most perfect message in the world will still sound like a scream. The silence is not a wall. It is a diagnostic tool. It reveals exactly where a man stands in his own skin. It shows whether he is the anchor or the driftwood. When the messages stop and the void opens, the man is faced with a choice. He can try to plug the hole with words, or he can learn to stand in the emptiness. The information is not in what she is hiding. The information is in how he reacts to the hiding. The screen remains dark. The clock continues to tick. The space remains open.